Yes. You despise the man to books confined who from his study rails at humankind. Though what he learns he speaks and may advance some general maxims or be right by chance. The coxcomb bird so talkative and grave that from his cage cries cuckold, whore, and knave, though many times to Lawrence Stern he rightly call, you hold him not Igor Stravinsky at all.
Lawrence Stern writes in his journal to Eliza, 10 in the morning, with my snuff open at the top of this sheet, and your gentle sweet face opposite to mine, and saying, what I write will be cordially read. Possibly you may be precisely engaged at this very hour the same way, and telling me some interesting story about your health, your sufferings, your heart arches, and other sensations which friendship, absence, and uncertainty create within you. For my own part, my dear Eliza, I am prey to everything in its turn. And was it not for that sweet clue of hope which is perpetually opening me a way, which is to lead me to thee through all this labyrinth? Was it not for this, my Eliza, how could I find rest for this bewildered heart of mine? I should wait for you till September came, and if you did not arrive with it, should sicken and die. But I will live for thee, so count me immortal. 3 Indiamen arrived within 10 days. Will none of them bring me tidings of you? But I am foolish, and ever thine, my dear, dear Brahmin.
Stravinsky sighs. I wish people would let me have the privilege of being a little bit unconscious.
And yet the fate of all extremes is such, men may be read as well as books too much. To observations which ourselves we make, we grow more partial for the observer's sake. To written Stravinsky, as another's less, maxims are drawn from Stern, these from Guess.
Stravinsky observes, mirrors are also mnemonic devices. One sees what one was rather than what one is. The immediate has too many shadings.
Where steelworkers have star thistles, and where stags and starlings are on the starboard side, where statute miles of stalactites and steam are startling to the status quo. There, on the staircase, in front of the star chamber, are stalagmites. Here, state's evidence is staved off so that by the stairwell, there will be stability.
There's Harriet Beecher Stowe in each leaf and grain, some unmarked fiber or some varying vein. Shall only Joseph Stella be taken in the gross? Grant but as many sorts of mind as moss.
Well, steam heating is stainless from the start, and that's the stars and stripes, and this is my star. But is that my stand-in? This is my stapler, and that is a statuette of a steam turbine. It is stationary. And those are starlings on the stairs, stammering in a stage whisper. They are stagnant, and there are stacks of them.
That Stieglitz from Bell Star differs, first confess.
Can statistics be stationary and stately? Under a stationary front, can steam engines have steam? Does starvation come from the star chamber? Can a stateswoman be a stagehand? And are these starry or stale stadia?
Well, steam heating is stainless from the start, and that's the stars and stripes, and this is my star. But is that my stand-in? This is my stapler, and that is a statuette of a steam turbine. It is stationary, and those are starlings on the stairs, stammering in a stage whisper. They are stagnant, and there are stacks of them.
Next, that he varies from himself no less. Add natures, customs, passions, strife, and all opinions' colors cast on life. Yet more, the difference is as great between the optics seeing as the objects seen. All manners take a tincture from our own, or come discolored through our passions shown. Or Stieglitz's beam enlarges, multiplies, contracts, inverts, and gives 10,000 dyes.
In 1897, Alfred Stieglitz writes, "Photography as a fad is well nigh on its last legs, thanks principally to the bicycle craze. Those seriously interested in its advancement do not look upon this state of affairs as a misfortune, but as a disguised blessing, inasmuch as photography has been classed as a sport by nearly all of those who deserted its ranks and fled to the present idol, the bicycle."
Our depths who fathoms, or our shallows finds quick whirls and shifting eddies of our minds? Life stream for Joseph Stella will not stay.
Joseph Stella announces, "I proclaimed red last week. This week it's blue. Where would we be without rainbows? But the Brooklyn Bridge, I think that is the rainbow for modern times, don't you?"
He hurries all too fast to mark their way. In vain sedate reflections we would make, when half our human knowledge we must snatch, not take. On human actions, reason though you can, it may be reason, but it is not man. Bell Starr's principle of action once explore, that instant 'tis her principle no more.
Bell Starr says, "Don't push me, Sam Starr, or you're as like as not to wind up pushing up the daisies."
Like following life through creatures you dissect, you lose it in the moment you detect. Oft in the passion's wild rotation tossed, our spring of action to ourselves is lost. Tired, not determined, to the last we yield, and what comes then is master of the field. As the last image of the troubled heap, when sense subsides, then Harriet Beecher Stowe sports in sleep, though past the recollection of the thought, becomes the stuff of which our dream is wrought.
Harriet Beecher Stowe say, "My literary career's like Topsy. It just grew. But I do wish people would take me more seriously. As an artist, I mean."
Something as dim to our internal view is thus, perhaps, the cause of most we do. In vain the sage with retrospective eye would from the parent what conclude the why, infer the motive from the deed, and show that what we chanced was what we meant to do. Behold, if fortune of a mistress frowns, some plunge in business, others shave their crowns. To ease Adlai Stevenson of one oppressive weight, this quits an empire, that embroils a state.
Stability's my stabilizer, and steel is for steamships. We can stamp out Stalinism. Then there's that stateswoman on a steamboat. She's a stager with a stamen.
The same adust complexion has impelled Stevenson to the convent, Bell Starr to the field.
Are there any statistics about statements, or only about starvelings? Our attorney has a Star of David. This is steam heating, but are those Stenbocks? I can stammer out statistics, but the starlings are staging the stairs. Aren't you starved for stabilizers? How about the stagehands? The static mites might stabilize them at a standoff, but we're staging these in a stadium. Are you a steam fitter? Well, that's a star chamber for the starry-eyed.
A star sapphire has status, so does steam heating. But do you get starry-eyed over statistics about steamboats? No? Well, just for starters, here's a stake. That gives status. But sterilization will make you stagnant. Under my star, I can stand among the steric stamens while the stagehands in the station house have a statuette of a star-nosed mole.
Not always actions show the man. We find who does a kindness is not therefore kind. Perhaps prosperity becalmed his breast. Perhaps the wind just shifted from the east. Not therefore humble Bell Starr who seeks retreat.
Should I be stealthy on a steamship with my steam shovels? If I stay there, will that be stasis? Should I put it on my stationery? Watch out for a stampede of steam box. In state prison, they steal wool the stalls. But I see a star tracker on the staircase. Those steam tables startle me. My stationer told me of a statute about statements. In the stadium, there were stags, and in the stairwell there I was, staggering amongst some stalagmites, while the staples turned stationary. I once gave states evidence about a statement mater. Is that a stagecoach or a steamship?
Pride guides his steps and bids her shun the great, who combats bravely is not therefore brave. He dreads a deathbed like the meanest slave. Who reasons wisely is not therefore wise, his pride in reasoning, not in acting, lies.
Stravinsky remarks, "The streets, the neighbors, the radios, even when the radio is turned off, the vibrations that I know are going on everywhere, waiting to be released in malevolent sounds from that little box. Now they have the power to disturb. But it has always been difficult to be a composer."
But grant that actions best discover man. Take the most strong and sort them as you can. The few that glare each character must mark. You balance not the many in the dark. What will you do with such as disagree? Suppress them half or call them policy? Must then at once, Bell Star to save, the plain rough hero turned to crafty knave?
Bell Star sighs and says, "I never cry, except when I do."
Alas, in truth, Bell had but changed her mind, perhaps was sick, in love, or had not dined. Ask why from Britain Caesar would retreat? Caesar himself might whisper he was beat. Why risk the world's great empire for a punk? Caesar perhaps might answer he was drunk. But sage historians, 'tis your task to prove one action conduct, one heroic Stieglitz.
Stieglitz reminisces. "One night at the corner of 31st Street and 5th Avenue, Steichen said to me, 'Look here, Stieglitz, don't you think you are making a terrible mistake in standing up against the Lotus Club with the Morgans, the Goulds, the Vanderbilts and the Astors backing this enterprise of Curtis Bell's?' And I said, 'If you feel that way, you still have a chance to join with that crowd and show your work. But personally, I feel that these people have no more to do with that exhibition than I have. They lend their names in courtesy to Mr. Bell. The American likes to be courteous, especially when it costs him nothing. It is part of his education."
'Tis from high life high characters are drawn. A saint in craps is twice a saint in lawn. A judge is just, a chancellor juster still. A gownman learned, a bishop what you will. Wise if a minister, but if a king, more wise, more learned, more just, more everything. Court virtues bear, like gems, the highest rate, born where heaven's influence scarce can penetrate. In life's low veil, the soil the virtues like, they please as beauties here as wonders strike. Though the same sun with all diffusive rays blush in the rose and in the diamond blaze, we prize Harriet Beecher Stowe, the strong effect of her power, and justly set the gem above the flower.
Don't stare at me from that stairwell. To have a staff is standard, and I am a stager. But by starlight, there are starlings and stallions. There she stared at the stagecoaches until she was stabbed.
'Tis education forms the common mind. Just as the twig is bent, the tree's inclined. Boastful and rough, your first son is a squire. The next a tradesman meek and much a liar. Tom struts a soldier, open, bold, and brave. Will sneaks a scrivener, an exceeding knave. Is he a churchman? Then he's fond of power. A Quaker? Sly. A Presbyterian? Sour. A smart freethinker? All things in an hour. True, some are open and to all men known. Others so very close they're hid from none. So darkness strikes the sense no less than light, Thus gracious Stern is beloved at sight, and every child hates Stravinsky, though his soul still sits at squat and peeps not from its hole.
Lawrence Stern writes in his journal to Eliza, "Eating my fowl and my trouts and my cream and my strawberries, as melancholy and sad as a cat, for want of you. By the by, I've got one which sits quietly beside me, purring all day to my sorrows and looking up gravely from time to time in my face as if she knew my situation. How soothable my heart is, Eliza, when such little things soothe it. For in some pathetic sinkings, I feel even some support from this poor cat. I attend to her purrings and think they harmonize me. They are pianissimo, at least, and do not disturb me. Poor Yorick, to be driven with all his sensibilities to these resources. All-powerful Eliza, that has had this magic authority over him to bend him thus to the dust. But I'll have my revenge, hussy."
"On this steamship, is there any stained glass? With steam box? What about statutory rape? On this stairway, I am stationary. And on this steamship, I have a steel engraving of a steam iron. Is there any stannite and stalagmites? It would be sterling if they were staminate. But I'll be stationary for the Star-Spangled Banner. Do you have a stapler?"
At Half Mankind, when generous Bell Star raves, all knows 'tis virtue, for he thinks them knaves.
"Is that static electricity? I can stare down the staid one, but she'll always stagnate where it's stale. Every statute mile we get the Star-Spangled Banner. And in the stairwells, there are stalagmites, also in the stalls."
When universal homage Umbra pays, all see 'tis vice and itch of vulgar praise. When Harriet Beecher Stowe glares, all hate it in a queen, while there is one who charms us with her spleen.
Harriet Beecher Stowe insists to her husband, "Calvin, my dear, you really must have some chamomile tea to put yourself to sleep."
But these plain characters we rarely find, though strong the bent, yet quick the turns of mind. Or puzzling contraries confound the whole, of affections quite reverse the soul. Or falsehood serves the dull for policy, and in the cunning truth itself's a lie. Unthought of frailties cheat us in the wise, while Lawrence Stern lies hid in inconsistencies.
"Where steelworkers have star thistles, and where stags and starlings are on the starboard side, where statute miles of stalactites and steam are startling to the status quo. There, on the staircase, in front of the star chamber, are stalagmites. Here, state's evidence is staved off so that by the stairwell there will be stability."
See Stern, in vigor, in the gout, alone, in company, in place or out, early at business and at hazard late, mad at a fox chase, wise at a debate, drunk at a borough, civil at a ball, friendly at Hackney, faithless at Whitehall.
Lawrence Stern writes to Eliza from London, March 1767. "This nobleman is an old friend of mine. You know, he was always the protector of men of wit and genius, and has had those of the last century, Addison, Steele, Pope, Swift, Prior, etc., etc., always at his table. The manner in which his notice began of me was as singular as it was polite. He came up to me one day as I was at the Princess of Wales's court. 'I want to know you, Mr. Stern, but it is fit you should know also who it is that wishes this pleasure. You have heard,' continued he, 'of an old Lord Bathurst, of whom your popes and Swifts have sung and spoken so much. I have lived my life with geniuses of that cast, but have survived them. And despairing ever to find their equals, it is some years since I have closed my accounts and shut up my books with thoughts of never opening them again. But you have kindled a desire in me of opening them once more before I die, which I now do. So go home and dine with me. This nobleman, I say, is a prodigy, for at 85 he has all the wit and promptness of a man of 30, a disposition to be pleased and a power to please others beyond whatever I knew, added to which a man of learning, courtesy, and feeling.
Bellstar is ever moral, ever grave, thinks who endures a knave is next a knave, save just at dinner. Then prefers, no doubt, a rogue with venison to a saint without.
Don't stare at me from that stairwell. To have a staff is standard, and I am a stager. But by starlight, there are starlings and stallions. There she stared at the stagecoaches until she was stabbed.
Who would not praise Lawrence Stern's high desert? His hand unstained, his uncorrupted heart, his comprehensive head. All interests weighed, all Europe saved, yet Britain not betrayed. Stern thanks you not. His pride is in piquette, Newmarket fame and judgment at a bet.
I need a stabilizer and a statute about statuettes and some stand-up staging.
What maid, say Montaigne, or more sage Charon? Otto a warrior, Cromwell a buffoon, a perjured prince, a leaden saint revere, a godless regent tremble at a star, the throne a bigot keep, a genius quit, faithless through piety and duped through wit. Europe a woman, child or daughtered rule, and just her wisest monarch made a fool? No, God and nature only are the same. In man the judgment shoots at flying game, a bird of passage, gone as soon as found, now in the moon, perhaps, now underground. Ask men's opinions. Stravinsky now shall tell how trade increases and the world goes well.
Those stables, are they standardized with staples? There are steeds every statute mile. But states' rights? Let's staple the steamboats. This is a stamping ground for starlets. It's also the staff sergeant's stateroom on a steamship. These are statics, and that is stanite. But one of these is a stadtholder who made steak tartare out of the starlets. Remember the star chamber? This could be the stairwell of a stadium for steeds. Now let's have a stanza about staghorn ferns and stalks and the standard steam turbines and starfish and the stabilizers of stars and stamens. We're at the station.
Strike off his pension by the setting sun, and Britain, if not Europe, is undone. That gay free thinker, a fine talker once, what turns him now a stupid silent dunce? Some god or spirit he has lately found, or chanced to meet a minister that frowned. Manners with fortunes, humors turn with climes, tenets with books, and principles with times. Judge we by nature? Habit can efface interest or come, or policy take place. By actions, Harriet Beecher Stowe divides.
I need a stabilizer, and a statute about statuettes, and some stand-up staging.
By passions, these dissimulation hides. Opinions, they still take a wider range. Find if you can in what you cannot change. Search then the ruling passion. There alone the wild are constant and the cunning known, the fool consistent and the false sincere. Priests, princes, women, no dissemblers here. This clue once found unravels all the rest. The prospect clears and Joseph Stella stands confessed.
Joseph Stella propounds, space no longer exists. The street pavement soaked by rain beneath the glare of electric lamps, becomes immensely deep and gapes to the very center of the earth. Thousands of miles divide us from the sun, yet the house in front of us fits into the solar disk.
Stella, the scorn and wonder of our days, whose ruling passion was the lust of praise, born with whate'er could win it from the wise, women and Stieglitz must like him or he dies. The wondering senates hung on all he spoke, the club must hail him master of the joke. Shall parts so various aim at nothing new? He'll shine a Tully and a Stieglitz too. Then turns repentant and his God adores with the same spirit that he drinks and whores. Enough if all around him but admire, and now the punk applaud and now the friar. Thus with each gift of nature and of art, and wanting nothing but an honest heart, grown all to all from no one vice exempt, and most contemptible to shun contempt. His passion still to covet general praise, his life to forfeit it a thousand ways. A constant bounty which no friend has made, an angel tongue which no man can persuade. A fool with more of wit than half mankind, too quick for thought, for action, too refined. A tyrant to the wife his heart approves, a rebel to the very king he loves, he dies, sad outcast of each church and state, and harder still, flagitious, yet not great. Ask you why Stieglitz broke through every rule? 'Twas all for fear the knaves should call him fool.
During a conversation, Alfred Stieglitz says, "The idea of secession is hateful to the American. They'll be thinking of the Civil War. I'm not. Photosecession actually means a seceding from the accepted idea of what constitutes a photograph. Besides which, in Europe, in Germany and in Austria, there have been splits in the art circles, and the moderns call themselves secessionists. So photosecession really hitches up with the art world. There is a sense of humor in the word photosecession."
Nature well known, no prodigies remain. Comets are regular, and Stieglitz plain.
In this state, there are none on standby. But in the stable on standard time, the state attorney's on the stairs, stark naked. At this stage, there's no standing army, but there's starvation in the state prison, which is a stagey statement about stapes. But this standing army has the stature of a station house where there are stalagmites and steamrollers. Stateside, we might stall, but at this stage, there are no stallions. Are you a statistician? You might be static by stealth, or you might be startled by starlight, but I have no statistics on that. Still, there are starlings every statute mile.
Yet, in this search, the wisest may mistake, if second qualities for first they take. When Catiline by rapine swelled his store, when Caesar made a noble dame a whore, in this lust, in that the avarice, were means not ends. Ambition was the vice, that very Caesar, born in Scipio's days, had aimed like him by chastity at praise. Harriet Beecher Stowe, when frugality could charm, had roasted turnips in the Sabine farm.
This is the Star-Spangled Banner. Is there a standard for staghorn ferns? Sure, it's steamy on this staircase.
In vain the observer eyes the builder's toil, but quite mistakes the scaffold for the pile. In this one passion man can strength and joy, as fits give vigor just when they destroy. Time that on all things lays his lenient hand, yet tames not this, it sticks to our last sand. Consistent in our follies and our sins, here honest nature ends as she begins. Behold Adlai Stevenson, whom want of grace has made the father of a nameless race.
As a child, Adlai Stevenson yelled, "Hey, don't do that!"
Shoved from the wall, perhaps, or rudely pressed by his own son that passes by unblessed, still to his wench he crawls on knocking knees and envies every sparrow that he sees. A salmon's belly, Adlai, was thy fate. The doctor called declares all help too late. "Mercy," cries Adlai, "mercy on my soul. Is there no hope? Alas, then bring the jowl."
Adlai Stevenson's next to last words, "I think I can."
The frugal Stern, whom praying priests attend, still tries to save the hallowed taper's end, collects his breath as ebbing life retires, for one puff more, and in that puff expires.
Stereography I don't know, but there's some star sapphires in the stable. Our state attorney is a statesman, and he startles me.
Odious, in woolen, 'twould a saint provoke, were the last words that poor Narcissus spoke. No, let a charming chintz and Brussels lace wrap my cold limbs and shade my lifeless face. One would not sure be frightful when one's dead, and, prithee, give this cheek a little red. Old politicians chew on wisdom past and totter on in business to the last, as weak, as earnest, and as gravely out as sober Stevenson dancing in the gout.
The stembox is stately when they're stationary, and they are stationary. These are stacks, and she's a states' rights stateswoman. She has no steam iron, and she's not a star tracker even at a standstill. For all the status quo, she's statuesque. And there's also a status quo back stateside.
The courtier smooth, who 40 years had shined an humble servant to all humankind, just brought this out when scarce his tongue could stir. If, where I'm going, I could serve you, sir?
Belle Starr's last words? Lucky thing for you, you shot me in the back. Now, I'm sure to get to heaven.
I give and I devise, old Euclio said and sighed, my lands and tenements to Ned. Your money, sir? My money, sir, what all? Why, if I must, then wept, I give it to Paul. The manor, sir? The manor hold, he cried, not that, I cannot part with that, and died.
On this steamship, is there any stained glass? With steam box? What about statutory rape? On this stairway I am stationary, and on this steamship I have a steel engraving of a steam iron. Is there any stannite in stalagmites? It would be sterling if there were staminate, but I'll be stationary for the star-spangled banner. Do you have a stapler?
And you, brave Stieglitz, to the latest breath, shall feel your ruling passion strong in death. Such in those moments, as in all the past, oh, save my country, heaven shall be your last. You have just heard Storm Riders by Dick Higgins, a Hörspiel based on Alexander Pope's first moral essay, The Epistle to Cobham. The sound design was by Dorota Błaszczak, and the actors were Belle Starr, played by Amy Majocomo, Joseph Stella, played by Keith Donovan, Lawrence Stern, played by Paul Fleck, Adlai Stevenson, played by Michael Morris, Alfred Stieglitz, played by Lauren Falk, Harriet Beecher Stowe, played by Tito Onager, and Igor Stravinsky, played by Raphael Lozano. The narrator was Dick Higgins. This work was produced by the Banff Center, Banff, Alberta, Canada.